Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We're ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you. Let's comment on this week's episode on, are we socially malleable? As humans, we enjoy social interactions. In our season 3, episode 5, we talked about introverts versus extroverts. And this episode, we are going to explore the idea that regardless whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, can we build who we want to be socially? I'm your host, Melody, and with me here today are Vivian and Rita. Hi.
Hello.
The way we present ourselves to others socially, would you say you're relatively authentic? And if so, or even if not so, how would you describe yourself like socially?
I think definitely there would be slight variations based on the social setting and social group. And I don't think it's me moving away from my authentic self, but as psychologists say, it's just your social self. Mm. It's the social mask that you wear just because you have that different identity and hence a different expectation and role that you have to carry in that setting. That will mold your behavior in different ways, I think.
How would you describe yourself socially versus how your friends might describe you?
If you're talking about leisure, social event, I would say I am not a person that's really good at small talk, but then I'm open to have a conversation. I would try, but definitely I'm not the person that you will feel very bubbly and very good at making or pushing the conversation to flow.
I think you give warmth. You emit like kindness.
Do you think it takes time to feel that from me, though, in a social event?
You're quite inclusive. You would try, even though you're shy, I think within your capacity, you would try to include people so that is a way of showing warmth. But Viv, though, like, do you think that question come easy to you? Like, how you would describe yourself socially versus how people describe you socially?
I was thinking about Rita, actually. I think for Rita, when she's alone with me, she's very vulnerable. She engages me more in terms of conversation, and she will dig deep into those conversations. There are multiple settings where it was a group of people, and you can sense that she's doing a lot of thinking in her head before she talks. You can really tell. And, you know, like she has like well-thought questions, and then she's a bit slower in responding. But I agree, like she's very like kind, like you can tell that, like, you can feel her kindness throughout like what she says. At the same time, I just think the major difference would be when it touches her stuff, like her topics. She gets so excited and she gets so loud and she talks so much, but then it doesn't really happen in a group setting. So I think that would be the major difference that I observed. But when it comes to myself, I think before I was always perceived as, you know, so outgoing, so talkative, and, you know, very passionate towards my, like, whatever I'm saying. But then now I get older and with more shadow work done, I'm more content, I would say. The similarities between myself alone and in a group setting, it's getting closer and closer. And it's a big, big achievement that I've accomplished, I would say.
To be honest, I have always tried to be, as you guys know, authenticity is a big thing for myself.
So big.
I guess, first of all, I don't like to lie. Lying is like something that I'm not great at, but being authentic doesn't mean like you should expose yourself like 100% to other people. But I think it's just socially presenting yourself so that you feel the most comfortable.
Yeah.
And that you're not hiding anything. And you would be able to openly show your vulnerability as well as other aspects of your life. So I do think Socially, I want people to see me as a warm, inclusive, confident, kind person. And I do try to present that side of myself to people. But sometimes I would also show, I guess, the more serious, maybe not so attractive side. I don't know. I do dare to show like different sides of myself. But in terms of whether I can always sustain the perfect social image of myself in front of others, no.
I think we are all authentic to ourselves because we all feel those emotions, but it's how we act.
I want us to share our opinions on being socially malleable versus being socially two-faced.
Mm-hmm.
So being socially malleable to me means someone who can read the room or adapt with an agile and flexible approach. That doesn't mean that they are not being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas someone being socially two-faced would mean that their behavior or their trust or their reputation might not be very reliable. And, you know, there's a lack of a sense of security, you know. So I think that's the main difference between someone who is socially malleable versus someone who's socially two-faced.
Basically, like their behaviors are contradicting if you laid it out on a table. I think being socially malleable is people who could act appropriately according to the audience or group. So they are not different from what they believe or what they say. It's just how much they withhold or reveal. But for two-faced people, they basically contradict themselves in a way for perhaps keeping their friends group open or try to fit in a group. For example, a person that is really close to another person, but then turning back, he or she is backstabbing that person because having a common enemy makes friendship. If those are, you know, the purpose of being two-faced, I feel like it stems from their insecurity.
It's really a feeling like when a person acts so different, it just automatically, I just distance myself with them because I don't want to associate myself with them, or I don't want to deal with whatever problem that they're dealing with because I have so much stuff going on with my life, you know?
And I do think two-faced people couldn't be 100% present when you're having conversation with them because they have to be constantly thinking. Could you imagine how much things are going on in their head? That's hard work, man.
Hey, but like on the other side, they're so adaptable.
Yeah, that's a like, skill.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like when someone is like socially malleable, I think there's like a positive and also negative association to it. Like positive ones would be that, you know, they can compromise, they know how to read the room, they are smart in that sense. But also on the flip side is that people might describe that as being someone without a backbone, you know, go with whatever people say and you're like being pushed from here and there.
Yeah. Oh, now you mention it. Definitely. Like you would feel like you couldn't see that person. The image isn't solid. You couldn't describe her or him.
I also caught myself being two-faced sometimes, you know, like when I talked about previously my situationship where I wasn't happy because I caught myself so many times. Unconsciously, I was just like presenting a different side of me that's not me. And I think if you are so lucky and fortunate to spot that in you, then you just have to give love to yourself.
In what sense do you feel like you were acting like two-faced though? I actually want to get some context of that.
Mm-hmm. So for example, if I am really tired and I don't want to engage in, you know, serious conversations. But then with that person, every time I see him, we would touch on politics, we would touch on big concepts. And it's very stimulating at first. And I was like, ooh, like it's big conversations. And we left the conversation feeling like you learned something, you achieved something. But when it becomes a pattern, sometimes when I don't feel like it, I would just force myself to do it. And then I would pretend that I'm really engaging. instead of voicing my need. Or if I feel like there's something I need to ask that person regarding our relationship, I want to present in a way where I don't really care much. That was a huge lesson for me. And it applies to how I treat all my interpersonal relationship now. It's how to be like appropriately authentic.
And I think it's communicating your boundaries, right?
That's great. It actually echoes to our early episode, three types of people that you meet in your life. Mm-hmm. It's great that he actually taught you a lesson that is so important here. And sometimes I do think you shouldn't label that as two-faced, though. I don't think that's really two-faced, because the deceiveness inherent in the term two-faced is actually a bit manipulative and purposive. But for you, I do think it's the anchor was a bit floating. At the same time, we have to understand.
Floating.
Yeah. And we have to understand human is just constantly changing in their values and, you know, what you value at that time or how you see things. Like, you could believe in something in one day and not believing that in another day, but you are still authentic. It's just you changed in perspective. And mm-hmm. I think that could happen.
How do you handle like constant change in people then? Because we talked about, you know, when people present themselves, their image has to be aligned for us to trust them. But now we're saying that people change all the time. So how do we decide if that person is authentic, you think?
Something that I came across when I was preparing for this episode was, how can we build our social attractions and make ourselves more comfortable in presenting our own self at social setting? And one of the points that came across was really work on your self-acceptance and stop relying on safety behaviors. I guess the most fundamental approach, by sensing whether that person is genuine or not, you can kind of see that via their eye contact, their physical behaviors, right? So if someone is genuinely interested and believe in what the conversation or where the conversation is going, they are less likely to play on their phone. They're less likely to look at the screen. They should kind of eye to eye locked into yours. And I guess like certain behaviors, you can kind of sense check that person's whether they are being authentic or they are just trying to socially please and carry on with that conversation.
Yeah, but these are the examples that you just shared. Those are very surface level, right? Like how you interact with that person using the phone, eye contact. Mm. I'm asking if Rita is saying that our core values sometimes change.
Yes.
It's like your belief change. On the flip side, for the other party, how do you determine whether that person is authentic or not? Because they keep changing.
I think one thing is observe their consistency in doing things and executing things.
Because those are dependent on core values.
One great takeaway for this episode is really being open-minded and learn to accept, you know, acceptance is a big one of mm-hmm. how you can be open-minded, observe and accept that people do change. But then if their core values and their actions are consistent to a certain extent, then you know that that person is still socially presenting the best self that they want to present. Sometimes it's trickier to see how authentic that person is because everyone has their own way to present themselves socially. But I guess the most important is, you know, showing consistency in things that they do and how they behave. That's all for today's episode on Are We Socially Malleable? Join us again next time when we talk about, could you be the reason of someone's smile today? Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.